Please open your Bibles to the book of Jonah. The story of Jonah is one of the most well-known stories in the entire Bible. But interestingly, it's only well-known in this first half of the story. A lot of times when we teach our children about the story of the Bible, we tell them about how Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach to the city, and how he ran away the opposite direction, and he got on a boat, went out into the middle of the sea, and God caused this great storm to come on the sea and rocked the boat and almost tore the boat apart, and how the sailors figured out that Jonah was running from God. And so they threw him overboard as Jonah requested, and this great fish came and swallowed Jonah up, and he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And after those 3 days were over, the fish, the Bible doesn't say it was a whale, it says a fish, spit him back out on land. And then Jonah went and preached to the city of Nineveh. But that's only the first half. That's only chapters 1 and 2. And when we tell the story just in its first half, we kind of give the impression that after Jonah was spit back out on the land, that, and when he went to go preach to the city of Nineveh, that from that point forward, he was completely obedient before the Lord. And that he had learned his lesson, that he did exactly what the Lord had commanded him to do. But really, that's not the picture that we get from the book of Jonah. He did obey, and he did go to the city of Nineveh to preach as God had told him to. But as we see, he did not do it with the kind of attitude that God would have him do it. So I want us to think tonight about the story of Jonah, the rebellious and the merciless prophet. And perhaps before we get started looking at the story, we need to address the fact that a lot of people don't believe that the story of Jonah is real. Well, you think about this great fish swallowing this man, and he spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of this great fish. How can a man survive that? Obviously, that's got to be a miracle, because I'm not sure that that really is possible other than it being a miracle. But if you notice in 2 Kings chapter 14, in verse 25, the Bible mentions Jonah outside of the book of Jonah, and it speaks of him as being a real person. And it says in verse 25, it's speaking of the King Jeroboam the second, that he restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath-Hepher. So here, Jonah is spoken of as a real person who lived under the kingship of Jeroboam the second. And perhaps more importantly, when we look at Matthew chapter 12, Jesus himself speaks of Jonah as being a real person. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus references this story in teaching the Jews and really rebuking them for not accepting his teaching, not repenting at his teaching like the Ninevites did at Jonah's teaching. And he says in verse 39 of Matthew 12, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." And then he goes on to mention another historical event, the time when the Queen of Sheba came to visit with Solomon. He says, "The Queen of the South will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." So Jesus believed that the story of Jonah was real. He believed that Jonah was a real individual who preached to the city of Nineveh, and that the Ninevites were real, that they repented. And not only that, but Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That story is just as real as the Queen of Sheba going to visit Solomon and being amazed at Solomon's wisdom. And so we have to understand that the Bible does speak of this story as a real historical event. Even though it was a remarkable miracle, still, it really happened. But when we go back and look at the story of Jonah, to me, the most remarkable thing about this story is not that Jonah gets swallowed by this fish and survives 3 days and three nights in the belly. The most remarkable thing to me is how Jonah could experience something like that and forget, essentially, what he should have learned there. It amazes me that Jonah experienced such a great salvation from the Lord in the fish, but then whenever he goes to Nineveh and the city of Nineveh repents, he has a bad attitude about the people who repent. And so we're going to talk about the story of Jonah. Really, it breaks down into four easy-to-remember parts. The first chapter, you see Jonah running from God. In the second chapter, you see him praying to God from the belly of the fish. Chapter 3, he goes to Nineveh and preaches for God. And then in chapter 4, you see him arguing with God about the city of Nineveh. So let's start in chapter 1, and let's see what we can learn from this story. So in chapter 1, verse 2, God tells Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up against me," or before me, excuse me. So Jonah is being told to go to this great city of Nineveh. Now Nineveh was an important city of the nation of Assyria, and its wickedness was legendary. Kind of like the legendary wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember in Genesis chapter 18, the Lord told Abraham that he was going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah because its wickedness had come up before him. And so Jonah is being told to go up and preach to this city, for their wickedness has come up before me. This is an evil city, a city full of idolatry, of violence, and immorality. And instead of obeying, what Jonah did was he went the opposite direction. In verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So basically what we find is he goes the complete opposite direction of where God told him to go. He was told, of course, from the promised land here, to go up to the city of Nineveh, which was about 500 miles if you traveled the common roads back then. But he goes to Tarshish, which isn't even on this map. If you can picture where Spain is on this map, you go further west that direction. That's where the city of Tarshish probably was, on the west coast of Spain. So we might say that when Jonah got this command, he got up and he went to Timbuktu. He went the complete opposite direction because he did not want to do what the Lord told him to do. And so we find Jonah in the next scene on the boat. And this great storm has come up and the sailors are afraid. And they're crying out to their gods, wondering what their gods can do to save them. But then in verse 5, we see that Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down, and he's asleep. The Bible says he was sound asleep. And I wonder if Jonah's conscience was just completely not bothered by what he had done. He had run away from the Lord, and at least the sailors had religious sense enough to pray out, to cry out to their gods, but Jonah wasn't even bothered by this. He was sound asleep in the bottom of the boat. And when the captain comes and wakes them up and says, "Cry out to your God," then they cast lots to find out what the story is behind this. Why are they suffering? Why are they experiencing this great tragedy? And then they find out it's Jonah. And they start asking him all these questions. Who are you? Where do you come from? And in verse 9, Jonah says, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." You think about what he's saying there. I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Jonah knows something about God that the sailors don't know. Jonah recognizes that God is the one true God, and that he made not only the land, but he made the sea that they're in right now. And he says, I fear the Lord. But this raises a question in my mind. If Jonah truly feared the Lord, why is he running from the Lord? If he truly feared the Lord God, as he says here, why is he running away from Him? In verse 10, the men became extremely frightened. They recognized the tragedy of what he was doing here. They recognized that if we try to run away from this great Lord God of heaven, there's terrible things that are going to happen. And so they asked Jonah, well, what are we going to do? And Jonah tells them, well, cast me over into the sea. Throw me overboard. And at first they don't do it. First they try to row back to the land, but the storm keeps getting worse and worse. Finally, they have no other choice but to throw him into the sea. And the moment they throw him into the sea, the wind stops and the storm ceases. And in verse 15, it says, they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. These sailors were struck, and they were surprised, and not just surprised, but they feared the Lord greatly, recognizing that, hey, this really is the God of the sea. This really is the great God who has power over us. And the Bible says that they feared the Lord. And to me, it's a little bit ironic that the sailors who at first believed in other gods, that they began to fear the Lord when Jonah was running from the Lord, even though he claimed to fear the Lord. Then we come to chapter 2, and we find that Jonah is in the belly of the fish. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 17, it says, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. So we need to understand that this wasn't some accident, all right? It wasn't that this whale or this, I keep saying whale, but it just says a fish. The fish, it wasn't an accident that he just swallowed this man up. It says the Lord appointed this great fish. This was a miracle that God was behind. And this was an act of God's grace. Jonah didn't deserve to be swallowed by this fish. This was an act of God rescuing Jonah. If Jonah had perished in the sea, really, he would have gotten what he deserved. Because he was running from the presence of the Lord. He was disobeying God. So it would have been only right and just for God to allow that happen. But the Lord wanted to use Jonah. The Lord wanted him to go to Nineveh. And not only that, the Lord wanted to teach Jonah a very important lesson about salvation and about grace. And so we find Jonah praying this prayer in the belly of the fish. And we're not going to read the prayer in its entirety, but you'll notice that this is a prayer of gratitude. Imagine yourself in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. You've been thrown overboard for your disobedience to the Lord. You're treading water and these waves are crashing over your head. You're wondering, how long am I going to survive here? And all of a sudden, this great fish swallows you up. And you recognize that it's the Lord who has caused this to happen and that the Lord is rescuing you from the sea. What would you do? How would you feel? What would you be thinking? How would you be praying to the Lord? I don't know about you, but I would be thanking the Lord for rescuing me. And perhaps I would also be praying to save me, the Lord to save me from this fish. And so he's saying this prayer of gratitude and thanksgiving for the Lord. But there's some strange details that we notice in this prayer. And I wonder if this prayer, even though it is a prayer of gratitude, I wonder if this kind of is a reflection of how forgetful Jonah often was. First of all, you notice in verse 4, he says, so I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Jonah says, I have been expelled from God's sight. Now, was it God's choice to cast Jonah from his presence? Or was that Jonah's choice? You notice in chapter 1, in verse 3, it says two times that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. It wasn't God who expelled Jonah from his presence. It was Jonah who expelled himself from the Lord's presence, or at least thought he could. It was Jonah who ran away. And the second thing is in verse 7, Jonah says, while I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. Well, when did Jonah remember the Lord? Was it whenever he was on the boat while he was fleeing? No, it wasn't then. He certainly didn't remember the Lord whenever the Lord told him to go to Nineveh, but it was when he was in the middle of the sea, when he was at rock bottom, if you will, when the waves were crashing over his head, when the seaweed was entangling his feet, then he remembered the Lord. I think that's what happens to a lot of people. When things start getting bad in their lives, when the consequences start catching up with them for the decisions that they made, then they start thinking about the Lord. And then he says in verse 8, those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. And while that is true in a lot of cases, that those who follow other gods, they are not faithful to the Lord, obviously. What about those sailors? Those sailors feared the Lord. They recognized His great power. Unlike Jonah, at least they recognized that what Jonah was doing was a frightening thing, was a fearful thing to try to flee from the presence of the Lord. It seems to me that the sailors feared God more than Jonah did, at least in this point. And then you can read the entire prayer and not read one word of repentance from Jonah. Not one time in this prayer does Jonah tell God, I am sorry for what I've done. Nor does he ask him for forgiveness. And maybe I'm being too hard on Jonah here, but in reality, you just don't see that here. You don't find Jonah asking for repentance, not a word of it. But lest we are being too hard on Jonah, we do need to recognize that in verse 9, Jonah does say, I'm going to be thankful to the Lord. He says, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. At least Jonah recognizes that he is being saved by the Lord, and he's vowing to be thankful to the Lord for it. At least in some sense, he recognizes that he is being saved. But the question is, how long is he going to remember this idea of thankfulness? How long is this really humble attitude going to last? In chapter 3, we find God speaking to the great fish and telling him to spit him back out on land. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So here he is obeying. Here he is doing what he should have done to begin with. And at this point in the story, let's just pause and look at the bigger picture. The first time God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach what he was going to tell him to preach, he fled. He went the other way. And at this point, we don't know exactly why. We will find that out why. But the point is that he did not go to begin with. The second time God tells him to go after he's experienced 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, now he's going. At this point in the story, we have to ask ourselves, is Jonah a changed man? Has what he has experienced in that sea and in the fish, has it changed his mind? Has it changed his attitude? We don't know at this point, but in chapter 4, we're going to find the answer. Is he truly a changed man? Well, Jonah goes to the city and he preaches the word of the Lord. And it says in verse 4 that Jonah began to go through the city one day's walk. And he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Jonah's message was one of doom and gloom, if you will. He just told the people, 40 days and this city is going to be rubble. This city is going to be overthrown. And interestingly, when you look at the history of the Assyrian Empire and the city of Nineveh at this point, they were at a low point in their history. There was a lot of political and military turmoil at this point. And so you can understand how believable this message would have been by these somewhat religious individuals. They were idolaters, but they were religious. And they heeded this man's message. And that's a remarkable thing that this foreigner could come into their city and tell them that their city is going to be overthrown. And what do? But they repent. In verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed in God. And they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne. And he laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation and said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. Let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish." Isn't it remarkable that this people repented of their wickedness? And I might remind you that these people were very wicked. It was a city full of idolatry, city full of violence, full of immorality, and this people heeded the word of God. And you might wonder, well, are they really truly repenting? Are they really sincere about what they're doing here? Well, we read earlier from Matthew chapter 12 what Jesus said. Jesus said that they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Seems to me like they were really sincere about what they were doing. They truly repented before the Lord. And the result of their repentance was, in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, God relented concerning the calamity which He had declared. And He did not bring it upon them. God was going to destroy this city. But when God saw their humbled hearts, when God saw that they were repenting before Him, they had decided to change their ways, God said, "I'm going to change my mind." The people repented and God relented. That's just in character with God's, with His nature. You remember in Exodus chapter 34 when He reveals Himself to Moses, God reveals Himself as a forgiving God, as a compassionate God. He says, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yes, the Lord forgives those who humble themselves. He forgives those who He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And so what you find is a second example of God's mercy. In the first example, God showed mercy to Jonah in the fact that He rescued him from his choices and brought him back and gave him a second chance, really. And now God is forgiving the people of Nineveh and giving them a second chance. And Jonah is seeing this happen. He's seeing them get a second chance after he himself has been given a second chance. And we might think to ourselves, by this point, Jonah is glad. Jonah is glad that this people is repenting and that they have been receiving the grace and the mercy of the Lord. But in chapter 4, verse 1, what you find is that this thing greatly displeased Jonah and he became angry. Can you imagine that? This preacher has preached doom and gloom to this people, with the implication that they should repent and that they should turn back to the Lord. And when they do that, the preacher gets angry. They do exactly what the Lord wants them to do, and the preacher is frustrated. He's displeased and he's angry. Now, what kind of an attitude is that? What kind of a preacher gets angry when people do the right thing? That's exactly what you find here. And what you find is that he is not a changed man. He's the very same man he was in Jonah chapter 1 when God told him to go to Nineveh and tell the people what I'm going to tell them. He's the very same man. He's got the very same attitude that he had to begin with. In verse 2, he prays to the Lord, and we find the real reason that Jonah ran away from the Lord to begin with. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. So Jonah knew the right character of God. He knew exactly what we read about in Exodus chapter 34 when God says, I'm a forgiving God. He knew that, and because of that, he ran the other direction. What he's saying here is, I knew that if this people repented as you want them to, then I knew that you would forgive them. And that's why I ran away. Now, what kind of an attitude is that? To me, that's a very self-righteous attitude. That's an arrogant attitude. That's the kind of attitude who doesn't want to see this people given a second chance. Jonah doesn't want to see this people experience the Lord's mercy at all. He would have been glad if the city had been destroyed and overthrown as he had been preaching. But instead, the Lord spared the people. You think Jonah had learned his lesson? Doesn't sound like it to me. Because of all people, Jonah should have known something about forgiveness, right? Of all people, Jonah should have known something about grace. This people had experienced the Lord's grace, just as Jonah had. But yet he had not learned his lesson. And so he says in verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. He is so depressed that the people have been spared that he wishes for death. And the Lord says to him, do you have good reason to be angry? And in the next few verses, we find that the Lord prepared another object lesson to teach Jonah this lesson. And it's interesting, you can read in verse 5, Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. Then he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. Now, in your version, it may say that he prepared a plant. And that's the very same word that we found in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, where God prepared this great fish. God used the fish to try to teach Jonah a lesson. And he didn't learn here. And so now God is preparing this plant to teach Jonah a lesson. And this plant is over his head, and it's shielding him from the sun. And he's pleased. It says that he was extremely happy about the plant. But when God appointed a worm, when dawn came the next day, it attacked the plant and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind. And the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, death is better to me than life. So after it, you know, having the shade over his head, this plant grows up, and the very next day it withers because God causes it to wither. And so he begs God to take his life. And here's this question again in verse 9. Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? And Jonah said, I have good reason to be angry, even to death. And then in verses 10 and 11, we find the Lord's response. And really, this is the key to the whole book of Jonah. If we want to understand what the book of Jonah is about, this is what it is. Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant, for which you did not work, and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals? Here's the lesson for Jonah. You were sad that this plant was taken away from you. You weren't sad because of the plant itself. You were sad because it no longer provided shade for you. It no longer benefited you. You didn't do anything to provide for that plant. You didn't plant that plant. You didn't cause it to grow. I did. But yet you had compassion on it. How much more so should I have compassion on these people who don't know the difference between right and wrong? It's a lesson on compassion. It's a lesson on grace. It's a lesson on God's forgiveness. The lesson is that Jonah had no right at all to be angry. But God did have every right to show mercy upon this people, did He not? Did these people not repent? Did these people not believe in God? It was right for God to forgive these people. And it was just because of Jonah's selfishness that he was angry. It wasn't because he was concerned about the Ninevites at all. It was because he was concerned about himself that he became angry. And so I wonder about us, the application for us. You know, Jonah, his attitude did not change from chapter 1 to chapter 4. And I would hope that after what God said to him in chapter 4, that he did finally change his mind. But what he experienced in the belly of the fish did not change his attitude. He did not learn the lesson about forgiveness that he should have. He lacked gratitude towards God and he lacked compassion for other people. And what about us? Have we learned about the grace of God? Has our attitude changed because of what God has told us? The fact is, we are living in a modern day Nineveh around us. We see people who are in the very same situation in Nineveh that they did not know the difference between their left hand and their right hand. People around us don't know right from wrong. There are so many people around us that think it's right to do this over here, which is contrary, clearly contrary to God's Word. And they don't think that that's that bad. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. And how does God see those people? He has compassion on them. He loves them. Should we not have compassion on them too? What if you were Jonah? What if God told you to go and preach the gospel to a people who were just despicably wicked, who were just grossly immoral, who were like the people of Nineveh or the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, the people who worshipped idols, who did all kinds of acts of violence? What if God told you to do that? Would you go? And what if they repented? And what if God forgave them? Would we start thinking to ourselves, well, what about the things that they've done? Look at all the ways that they've hurt people. Look at all the ways that they have not been faithful to you, O God. And look at all the ways that I have been good. Would we have the attitude of Jonah? Or would we have the attitude of God who was compassionate upon them? Would we be like the Pharisees, who when they saw Jesus spending time with the sinners and the tax collectors, they balked at the idea of the Lord showing grace to them? For example, in Luke chapter 5, in verse 30, the Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not for those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And that's what Jonah was called to do. He was called to call these people to repentance. But he didn't have the right attitude about it. When Jesus came, he called people to repentance out of compassion and out of love. If God has compassion for the people around us, what about we? Do we have compassion? And the true hero of the story is not Jonah at all. I would hope that Jonah learned his lesson, but the true hero is God. This lesson, this book of Jonah, is really about God's forgiveness. How if people turn to Him and they repent of their wicked ways, God will forgive them no matter who they are. Jonah said in his prayer in Jonah chapter 2 verse 9, salvation is from the Lord. And that was true in Jonah's day, it was true in Jesus' day, and it's true in our day too. If God is going to be merciful to someone who repents, who are we to stand in their way? Because God is the one who is the Savior. What about you? Are you a Christian? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been saved by the Lord? We encourage you to think about your soul. We encourage you to think about what you need to do to be saved. And if you need the prayers of the saints here to encourage you, or maybe you've not been acting the way you ought to, maybe you need the forgiveness of God, we're here to help you and encourage you in any way. Come right now as together we stand and sing for your encouragement.